This is PFW in progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact you just got 1 year of top quality education. Waste. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
You see that guy over there? Over by the pillar? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him? Please?
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being Alzheimer's center.
Sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
The sheriff, Tom Casale.
You're nuts.
You know, a lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Well, you've got to be nuts. You want to work for nothing.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best team in the land for 2 years.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. And for you seniors, it's your last one to make a count. Because you will remember it the rest of your lives. Let's get them.
Okay, PFW in progress. Is that Rudy?
I'm tearing up.
Rudy.
I see. I'm one of the 5 people on earth that hates that movie.
I'm tearing up.
How can you hear? How can you hate that movie?
I dislike the movie. I don't like the guy. I'm telling you why.
He's in the middle of explaining it.
I don't like the guy who plays Rudy. I hardly ever like anything
Sean
he's
Astin,
in. I just don't like him.
Didn't like Lord of the Rings?
And
why?
I just
didn't watch that.
I just hate it. It just.
I'm a guy.
I didn't get this. I mean, the guy's a janitor now. So he sat around on a team. They threw him in. He got a sack
on his first,
and they made a movie
play.
About it.
Yeah, it's an inspiring story.
Didn't inspire me. Listen, I know I'm in the minority. I know a lot of people love that movie. It didn't register with me for some
Evidently,
reason.
Evidently, he's
not like Hoosiers.
The real life Rudy is a bit of a pain in the butt. Around the Notre Dame family,
right? That's what I
like
got from
today.
The movie.
No, but
no,
today I'm talking about.
No, I know. I had a friend that goes there. That's what I got from the movie. The guy won't leave people alone. I found him annoying, not inspiring.
So nowadays he what does he do? He goes
he's
back
a janitor.
To campus. No, but he goes back to campus and
he's a janitor at Notre Dame.
Oh, at Notre
yeah,
Dame.
Yeah, he's still there.
Oh God,
the guy won't leave.
I thought he gave like. Motivational speeches or something like that.
No, well, he's making $6 an hour.
The story was a good story in that, you know, everybody told him he couldn't do it, and he, you know, he refused to take no for
and
did it. But the other part of it, I don't think, and I don't know all the, I mean, I didn't know he was a janitor, but I just don't think that maybe his priorities are where they're supposed to be. And even, you know, in the movie, to kind of back Tom's point, you know the movie pretty well.
Sure.
The fact that his parents didn't believe that he was actually going to Notre Dame, to me, is an atrocity, number one. And then they come and actually see him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ned Beatty, who, you know, I can still see squealing like a pig. I'm sorry. And everything he's in. comes out of the tunnel and says, this site is, you know, the finest site these eyes have ever seen or something, you know, mm-hmm. to that effect. You're at a football game. You just walk down the tunnel to go to a football game, and that's the highlight of your life?
Well,
you know, you think there was a little something disturbing about that?
You know,
no?
The guy's a loser.
It sounds like a lot of football fans who are passionate about
this. There's nothing like when you go down the tunnel at your first game. You know, I remember when I went to my first Patriots game and when I went to the first Red Sox game. It's memorable.
Yeah.
But I was like 7.
Mm. Well,
you know, I don't think that when, you know, just by seeing a football field at the age of, you know, 50, is a life-changing experience. Evidently, it was for him, along the lines of, you know, his days in West Virginia, if you know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
Okay, it's PFW in progress. Now, we have Tom Casale hosting. We have Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, who's been chiming in.
Now, see, how come you don't get on his case for talking about himself in the third person? Or did you just come to expect that from
him? No, I kind of introducing who's on the show.
I kind of just lost my thought.
That's what I did when I first did it.
Are you just gonna pick at everything that Tom does as the host because that's what they do to
you? I'm not a good host, though. I didn't think that I was, and I've never claimed to be. I have trouble reading the emails. I don't really know what I'm saying.
Your food's here, by the way.
It's time for break.
Fred Kirsch is not here. I know the real reason why he's not here. I got an announcement to make in a few minutes, and I know why Fred isn't here. So, we'll get to that. Big announcement. PFW.
I mean, beyond the fact that he forgot that today was the day he had to do something and he thought it was Thursday?
Right.
Is a real reason?
Yes. He had to run home. I know what's going on. He said I could say it on the show, so I'll do that.
Well, just to let the listeners know, and I don't know if maybe I'll speak for you, Eric.
What's that?
I don't know I don't know what's going on.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
No, only I know.
Oh, okay.
I was in his office. So he said that I could share it. I have no fork. So it's 508-543-7482.
They're
phone
right behind
number.
The computer.
And web radio at patriots.com. We have 105 emails in the inbox. I'm going to guarantee you we don't get to all those.
Are you on the web radio?
Yeah, web radio. Now we have 106.
I think most of them are like 2 weeks old.
Oh, okay. Thanks for deleting those. Mini Gary doing a hell of a job as usual. Worried about drafting his fantasy football team.
He's worried about them allowing him to play fantasy football.
I was going
to
say, is he even in the league?
Speaking of that, strippers, you know, it takes a lot to offend me. But when you chose Andy Hart's league over mine, that hurt. That really hurt. I thought we had something. You know, the gambling, the porn. I thought we were kind of alike in many ways, you know.
I think you still are, Tom.
And then he chooses Andy. Not only chooses his league, is the commissioner of the Andy Hart League. Strippers. Things will never be the same between
strippers
us.
Strippers is the commissioner of Andy Hart's football league?
Yeah, they cut it.
Can you help me out here? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
I'm ill prepared. I didn't do show prep.
No, PFWinProgress.com has three leagues. It's Tom's.
Oh, I thought they had one league. I didn't
know. All right, well, he's explaining it. Why do you keep interrupting?
I'm telling you what's going on.
All right.
There's three leagues because so many people wanted to play. There's the Tom League, the Andy League, and the Mini Gary League. Mini Gary has one person in his league right now.
Is that
Would
you?
That be Mini Gary?
Is that you, Mini Gary?
But my league's almost filled up, and Andy's is halfway filled up, but Strippers is the commissioner. You get to pick. It's first come, first serve.
Gotcha.
And Strippers couldn't wait. I'll take Andy's league, and now he's the commissioner. That hurt. You know, I thought we had something there, but that's all right. I guess he's got Cali Girl now. He doesn't need me.
Well, that's understandable.
So, yeah, PFWinProgress.com.
I really am the only person on the planet that doesn't really like fantasy football, huh?
I mean, stripper.
You filled up three leagues in like a day.
Don't worry about the latency with the internet with strippers. Hang on. Let me see. This isn't.
Tom's having a.
I don't have the computer
moment.
Set right. It says, I did not choose Andy. I told James either league. James put me in Andy's. Okay, strippers.
Wow. Passing the buck. How about that?
Hang on. You guys talk. I got to get this. Wait. Preview pain.
How's that?
There we go.
How's that sandwich treating you?
So, yeah, that's what's going on. PFWinProgress.com is just blazing up the internet. Anything going on here? Football, anything?
Well,
not so much Patriots
related. I've lost interest. You guys can.
Not so much Patriots related, but there are some topics that I think are interesting that I would assume that some of our listeners are interested in. Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Interesting admission. I mean, not that it's overly surprising because if you were on those 70s Pittsburgh Steelers teams and you weren't doing steroids, then I think they'd probably cut you immediately.
So he was on the radio with Dan Patrick last week.
Dan Patrick's radio show, and he openly admitted that he took steroids to heal quicker. And he said he actually used the word we. You know, we took them to heal faster and get over the bumps and bruises, whatnot. But an open admission that he did, in fact, use performance-enhancing drugs. But there's many, many of those Pittsburgh Steelers that have been accused and proven to have done the same. I don't think there's much of a – I mean, I think it's a very, very surprising admission by Terry Bradshaw. It's a very high-profile guy, Hall of Fame quarterback,
right.
Four Super Bowl titles.
Is there any link between steroid use and brain damage? Because it sounds like Terry has a little bit of that. His quote was – we did steroids to get away the aches and the speed of healing. My use of steroids from a doctor was to speed up injury and thought nothing of it. Pause. It was to speed up the healing process. That was it. It wasn't to get bigger and stronger and faster. So, I mean, Terry was never the brightest bulb to begin with.
No, it's like Hollywood Henderson said. A guy couldn't spell cat. If you spotted him, the C and the A.
Poor guy, though. I mean, Terry had some problems back then, too, didn't he?
He's always been stupid.
Well, not stupid, but I mean, he had problems, like, in his personal life, didn't he? Wasn't he taking medications for things, or, you know,
I just know he's
depression,
stupid.
Or what was it? I think he
did have some personal issues that I don't really know a lot about, but I know that Tom's right. In the 70s, especially early in the 70s, at the start of the Super Bowl reign for the Steelers, he wasn't really there. Locked in number one quarterback. They had Joe Gilliam. Mm-hmm. Speaking of personal issues,
yeah. A decent player.
Oh yeah, no, he was supposed to be the first of those black quarterbacks that, you know, was going to revolutionize the position and do things that had never been done. But he unfortunately couldn't beat his personal demons. But Bradshaw had to really work to fight his way to that spot, and he constantly, as Tom alluded to, dealt with his intelligence as being an issue. He's a Louisiana kid.
Such an idiot.
You know, had the Southern accent now, mm-hmm. the Bayou accent.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of labeled him as being, not smart enough to play that position in the NFL. And obviously he was able to overcome that and did pretty well, winning four Super Bowls with the Steelers.
Now, I'm curious, though, if this interview came out a week ago. He did this interview a week ago.
Yeah, why it hasn't been?
Why it hasn't been?
Yeah, that's about more. On Pro Football Talk. They were talking about that. Florio actually said, you know, he's stunned that the mainstream media hasn't glommed on to it. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer as to why. I mean, it's a huge story, if you ask me.
I think so.
Huge story.
Yeah. I mean, not like you said, it's not a surprise because most people.
No, but that's one of those things.
But when a guy comes out and admits it.
It's like, you know, when the O.J. trial came down, if let's just say, you know, the jury actually had brains and he was found guilty, it wouldn't have been a surprise, but it's still a
right.
huge story.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, and it's not like, it's not like this is Rocky Blyer coming out or, you know, some other second or third string guy on that team. This is, like you said, this is the Hall of Fame QB who led them to four Super Bowl titles coming out and saying, yeah, I did it, we did it, you know, implying that there were, you know, teammates of his who did it too. When I saw that line that said it was last week on Dan Patrick's radio show, I just couldn't believe that this was the first time I was hearing about it.
And I'll say this, too. If the Dan Patrick radio show people didn't do a very good job of getting this out there, because when something like that happens, you're supposed to, they should have had a transcript of that and sent it out to all kinds of media outlets.
Oh.
You know, Terry Bradshaw on the Dan Patrick radio show
right.
today admitted to, you know, whatever.
Right, yeah, that should have been a wire story.
It's
like
not,
that
yeah,
afternoon.
It's not one of those things that should have been word of mouth. Hey, did you hear what he
exactly.
said on Dan Patrick?
Exactly, yeah, that should have been like a breaking sports wire story, I would think.
Tom's going at that salad like he hasn't eaten in weeks.
I'm trying to finish it so I can get back to hosting. Strippers, where did you get that Javon Walker story from? What website? He sent me something. I'm just wondering where he got it from. One of his six emails since the show started.
He had, he was pretty clued in on that story from the beginning, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, they got it. The dirty.
Yeah. They were like, weren't they the, were
they're
they the first
over,
ones to get it?
They're all over stuff, on, like white on rice.
The dirty is the one that had the original admission from Javon Walker about how the whole thing went down, which was kind of laughed at by everybody.
Yep.
Because it was so
the whole being dragged out into the street.
Yeah, he opened his hotel room door. They dragged him out, put him, and he was unconscious, knocked him unconscious. They dragged him out.
Right.
Brought him to a car and begged the question, if they knocked you unconscious, how do you
how
know, they,
you
dragged
know they dragged
you out?
Yeah.
But that was all.
Arm.
That was on the dirty.
It's broken.
TheDirty.com.
So is that it for the football stuff so far?
Well, what else we got?
I don't know if you want to talk about
the
Pac-Man
thing?
Jones Imus
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little while.
Because that's
when
just,
we're done eating.
I was going to say for the second half of your salad.
Well, you guys want to know where Fred is?
Yeah.
Where is
yeah,
Fred?
Where is this? You were teasing this earlier.
Yes, and I...
Because he told me he was going with Brian.
Hard way.
We have breaking news here. The July will be my last month at PFW. I am leaving to take the job in Las Vegas, and Fred was so shooken up that he ran home in tears.
Really?
Yes. It's he just couldn't handle it.
I'm almost as surprised by this as I am the fact that Terry Bradshaw came out and said he was doing steroids.
Well, they, as the Godfather would say, they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. A huge pay raise.
Now, who are these people that you're going to work for?
This is a pregame is the name of it. It's a sports handicapping site, but what they're looking to do is beef up just like the general stuff.
The content?
Too. Yeah. And they're weak at football. That's where they're weak. So the guy who came from Syracuse.
And you're supposed to fix that?
Yeah, I'm fixing that. The guy who came up here to watch the lacrosse game from Syracuse that I met with at the Stone Forge was he actually works there.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back and told his boss, you know, this is the guy we have to have, blah, blah, blah. So they made me just a great offer.
Excellent.
And
is this a website or a publication?
It's a website, but like I'm going to be creating newsletters and things like that. So you get a base pay, which is more than I make here off the bat, mm-hmm. and plus I'll be selling picks. And the guy who their leading seller makes $70,000 selling picks plus his base
on top of his salary.
The owner believes, he said, you should be able to hit half that easy, because he said people still think it's about winning and losing, and it's not. It's about being able to write material. And that way, he said, you know, some of these guys have been around 30 years. They haven't picked a winner in 30 years, and they're millionaires. It's just being able to write and interact with people. So there's a good chance in like 2-3 years I'll be making close to $100,000. So wow. I couldn't turn that down.
Well, you're still going to email me and look for like CAA picks and stuff during the winter, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But
I don't care about the Cowboys. But if you want to know who's going to win the James Madison VCU game,
right.
I'm looking for a call.
but it was a tough decision, you know, because I love it here. It's just when you take my salary and how much it costs to live around here.
Yeah, what's the cost of living out there like?
They got me the owner of the place got me a house that his cousin was renting. He's leaving in July. Way better than what I have now. $1,200 a month. I'm paying $2,000 for a dump in Foxborough. There's no tax in Las Vegas. Like there's no so, like the when you get your paycheck, there's no they t-
no state like
no
income
state,
tax.
Yeah. So it's just we'll be able to save a lot. Like this is like I said to Allison, if it was a little bit different. Like in money wise, but this is a huge difference. You know, in rent alone, we're going to be saving close to $10,000 in a year, and that's just rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't include my hires. And she got are you going to be able to get a job out there? She got a job in a week at this great school
as a
kindergarten teacher. And so once all that started.
Now, are you going to be in the city limits or are you like in the suburbs?
No, we're out in Henderson. That's where everyone lives, like all the. Nobody lives in Las Vegas. Like
I didn't know how big
there.
The city, what they considered the city. You know, like sometimes
yeah,
the strip is
they
like
have
downtown.
Like, they have like their own little communities. That's how they build them out there. They build like their own little communities, in communities type things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're away from everything. And we've been doing a lot of like research. And I was going to wait until I went out there. But I wanted to let Fred know. And plus I wanted to make it because we're getting back the 18th. You know what I mean? Like she has to be there August 13th. And I just said, that's too, we have to make a decision. You know, like we've researched it. Listen, it's going to be hot. I don't need to go out there to see how hot it's going to be.
Well, you had
115 degrees is hot.
RJ is going to have to help you out with some.
No, RJ was good. He gave me a lot of information. And so.
You got a taste of it at the Super Bowl, what the weather's going to be like. Isn't it kind of similar?
Yeah.
Being
oh, yeah.
like when we were in Glendale or
30?
Yeah, well.
But. You know, so with this job, I love it, but if you think about it, in 3 years, I got to do so much. Went to the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game, went to Dallas.
Combine,
all that stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Fred was just so shaken up, he had to run home.
He couldn't do the show, huh?
He couldn't even eat.
Can wow.
you imagine that? Like, he left food here. That's how shaken up
he
was.
He's lying. He's telling stories. Well, that's not right.
So yeah. That's...
Well, congratulations, Tom.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm definitely going to miss it here.
Let me ask you this. With the time difference and all, are you going to have time in your schedule to listen to PFW in Progress and email in as a regular contributor to the show?
No problem.
I mean, did you work that into your contract negotiations with these people? Do they know about this?
You won't be hearing the last of me. This, you know, Fred's already like, hey, maybe you call on Friday and give us your picks. And I was like... Whatever you want, Fred.
I think Tom's trying to get a sponsorship out of this thing somehow.
Maybe we'll sponsor you.
Hey, Fred's not the brightest bulb in the tree. He could probably get a sponsorship out of this thing if he really works it.
And I just made that brand new open. Now I need to fix it. Thanks, Tom.
Well, maybe
that?
Yeah, I made that.
Who helped you?
No one.
Next time I'll try to...
I thought it was a little rough around the edges. That makes sense.
Next time I'll try to plan my life around your
That's
opens.
Better.
Maybe next time we can actually get my name in the open.
Every time
yeah,
one
maybe
of,
I'll just put Ari's name in there.
Instead of the veiled attempt by talking about the 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, no talent...
Well, that was
producer.
Good. Yeah,
I feel you're coming along nicely, Eric. So you can step in and fill the void. I mean, it's going to suck, you know. I spend more time with you guys than my wife, and so that's tough. But it's just the money. It's like I was telling Fred, I've accomplished everything I want, but I still don't have money. And when you don't have money, life just isn't fun. You know what I mean? I want to buy cars. I want to buy couches. I want to do all that stuff. And I put myself behind the eight ball when I was younger. So, you know, and then Allison and I both had cancer this year, and I have diabetes. Let's face it, I got 10 to 15 good years left. I got to make a run at this. And that's what I was telling her, too. We don't have a kid yet. So if we're going to make a move like this, we need to do it now. Because
that's
soon,
a good point.
You know,
yep.
Because I can only fend her off for 3-4 months. It's coming. So it's
Are you older, or are you guys about the same age?
I'm older than her.
Yeah.
But I mean, all her friends are
pregnant. But her biological clock is ticking like this.
It's all her friends are pregnant. I don't have a. I've went 35 years.
Right.
So that's where Fred is, and.
And that's where you're. So when are you officially making the move?
We're leaving like August 1st.
So right as training camp begins.
Yeah, it's like July 29th will be my last day here.
Let's get to more important things. You will be doing the Vince Wilfork feature for this upcoming issue.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still working until July 29th.
I'm not a sentimental man, Tom. I need to get down to brass tacks.
Will you blog the first day from camp?
Yeah, I'll blog.
No, you won't be here.
When does camp start?
Oh, well, the end of the month.
End of July.
I figure that issue will be it for you. No?
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm still here for camp, I can go out and blog. That's not that difficult. But that's, it was a tough one, tough decision, but I had to go with the money on this one.
Boy, I hope, you know, you've just broken Renee's heart, by the way. Sweet Renee.
Now there's,
president of
now there's three people she hates?
Well, I don't know if she hates him. I mean, maybe she'll.
No,
she'll
not Tom, the guy who hired Tom.
Here's the thing, too. When I first started, all I heard about was how they needed to get Brian Morey back. Show can't go on without Brian Morey. Whoever replaces,
but they hated Brian Morey.
No, but whoever replaces me, I'm going to be forgotten about in 6 months. I mean, seriously,
that's true.
The same thing's going to happen. People are going to say, "We need Casale back. You're nothing." And then they're going to end up liking the new guy, and then you know, I'll be done.
Well, hopefully, I'll be stepping into your role, and whoever we hire to replace you, Tom, can go on John Rook's show.
Nah, that's not what me and Fred were discussing. We have a name that's been thrown out.
You already have a name, huh?
We have a name, and if the name comes, you're still going to Rook Show.
Well, I just hope that we actually hire someone.
Oh, you are. Fred said I got to hire somebody.
I hope he does, though. Fred saying I have to do it, sometimes that implies that he waits in his office until someone walks in and says, "Hey,
right.
do you mind if I work for you?" And he says, "Well, sure."
If it makes you feel better, the person we had discussed, I've already emailed and said, "Give me a call. I want to discuss something with you." So... hopefully I can push this along.
Is this somebody I know?
Yeah, everyone knows him. Oh, okay. Yeah, Paul knows who I'm talking about.
Not right now, I don't. I'm sure I know who the person is, but
let's put it this way.
Just so you know, Fred did not tell me this.
Let's put it
this is the first I'm hearing of all
this. It's not going to be a big transition from me. Let's just put it that way.
Somebody already in the business?
Yeah.
Well, no, we're going to hire an accountant.
On the beat is
well,
what
we,
I meant.
We hired
somebody
an,
already on the beat.
We hired an artist.
On the beat, I'm saying.
Yeah, you got. We've discussed it before when we were talking about replacing you.
MP?
Yeah, when we were talking about replacing Eric.
Oh, okay. I know who it is. Never mind. Yep. That'll be a seamless transition if that's
so,
the case.
So, James, I'm sorry about the fantasy football and everything. Maybe you can have the Eric League. But Eric doesn't pay, I should tell you.
What are you talking about?
The year you played with us and you're the only person still who hasn't paid $50. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that Jared Puffer League?
Yeah, that you stopped playing.
Are you kidding me? He never came and asked me for it. Are you kidding me? He never came. You didn't ask me anything. What are you talking about?
I kept trying to go up to you saying, you know, are you going to pay that?
You never came up to me and said that.
That's a lie. That's inaccurate.
No, that is not inaccurate. You never came up to me. That was Jared Puffer's league.
Right. And he came up to me 10 times saying, can you please go to Eric and ask him for the money?
And you never did. And if he were a man, he would have come up to me and asked me for it.
I went up to you about 5 times saying, you're going to pay for that league? And you said, oh, yeah, you pulled a Casale. You weren't ever going
to
pay for it.
Honest to God, Tom, I do not recall you ever coming to me and asking me about that.
All right.
Honest to God.
All right.
Well, I think you're crazy.
I need to step in here because you made a comment that just rubbed me the wrong way. You just said if Jared Puffer was a man, he would have come up to you and paid and asked you to pay. Now,
yeah, because
if you were a man, you wouldn't need anybody to ask you to pay for a fantasy football league. That's the lowest of the low. Michelle Murphy did that to me the 1 year I played fantasy football, and by the way, I won in my one and only appearance in a fantasy football league, and she didn't pay, and she claimed that she couldn't pay her electric bill. So if money's that tight, you shouldn't be getting in fantasy football leagues.
It's not that it was tight. It wasn't at the top of my mind.
You pay. The day that everybody has a draft, you show up with money.
That's
not
when we paid, though.
Well, that's what you should do.
Well, I know that's what you should do, but that's not how he ran it.
But everyone else paid in 5 minutes.
No, they didn't.
After the season. Everyone
after the season.
Except you.
If you just said, like, you forgot, I'd be able to accept that.
I did forget, and he didn't remind me about it.
That's an embarrassment.
If he had to go up to Tom and ask Tom to do it, what's that all about? I forgot, and he didn't come and ask the person we needed to ask. He's going to try to get
Tom's the muscle.
Strongman
to do it. Yeah, he was strong-arming you because you knew you were a problem.
But I don't remember Tom coming up and asking me that.
I'm disgusted by that.
You shouldn't be because it's...
I am. I'm disgusted by that. I there's very few things that...
Guy.
I know that the listeners are going to be surprised to hear this, but in all honesty, there are very few things that really annoy me. And that's one of them. People that don't pay their debts.
Guy, I don't owe anybody any money. This is the...
$50!
I'm just making these things
somebody
up on the
won
fly
that,
now.
Who won that league?
It was a kid down in
the pro shop.
And he's now like homeless.
Right.
Because he didn't have that extra $50
Simmer
for rent
down.
That month.
Relax.
Was it Ricky? Let's put it this way.
Did Ricky win?
I paid.
Was it Ricky?
And you know me, I don't pay for anything.
Was it Ricky?
No. It was someone that I didn't really know.
It wasn't Littlefield, was it?
Might have been.
Does he still work here?
We got a phone call.
Callie Girl is on the phone. Callie Girl, what do you got?
Tom effing Casale, are you really leaving?
Yeah, I'm gonna be.
You just drop an F bomb, Callie Girl.
I'm gonna be closer to you. I'm gonna be in Las Vegas. Now we can get together and hang out.
I know, but oh gosh, like you're leaving for real, or you're just leaving for vacation?
No,
leaving for real.
I was gonna say this isn't a stunt, is it? You are really leaving,
no,
right?
Yeah.
Like, are you playing a big joke on all of us? Because it's not funny.
No, unfortunately, I'm not. I'm going to miss this show. That's the one thing I'm definitely going to miss.
You're going to email in.
No, I know, but
you're
it's
gonna
not going to be
in.
The emailing.
I know he'll be
same.
Listening while he's at his new job.
Yeah, I'll be listening all the time.
Oh, I'm so
sad. This is a big part of my life.
He's probably still going to try to angle a way to get himself.
I thought this was going
to
be Renee's.
WinProgress.com.
I thought this would be Renee's reaction, not Callie's.
I'll be offering my services for the draft.
I know, Tom. He's a little healthier.
I'm sure we'll hear from Renee before the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. This
provided
is
that she's listening live. I mean, sometimes they listen on podcasts.
That's true.
Eric,
no, I wasn't. I'm not listening live, but someone told me the news and I had to call.
Someone, huh? Gee, I wonder who that someone was.
Strippers? did he roll over and tell you?
No, they got the little IM going. That's what's going on, right, Callie Girl, you and strippers?
Is that what they call it nowadays?
Yeah, they're IMing each other.
Dang, all of them in my business.
They're making the little smiley faces and the LOLs.
instant massaging?
What? Massaging?
What?
What?
What's that now?
What?
What?
What did you say? Huh?
I don't know. Eric's trying to flirt, and it's awkward.
Oh. How's your girlfriend, Eric?
Don't worry about it, Callie Girl.
Hey, I thought I'd try.
Good job,
25
good
minutes.
There.
Eric told me upstairs, no one's going to ask about my girlfriend.
Yep.
25 minutes.
Yep, we're in. It's not just us. We're not the only ones interested.
I want to know the details, too. Dang.
We're not the only ones interested, my friend.
I know you're not.
Other people are interested.
I know.
People care.
So maybe when Tom leaves, Eric will be on the show more, and maybe he'll open up a little.
Well,
come on, Eric.
let's hope so, Callie girl. But I've been now I'm getting the pessimistic view from Tom over here about
still
this.
Going.
Now Eric's gonna be gone, so it's just gonna be three of you guys.
No, Eric's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Not yet.
He promised to give me at least the season.
Yep, not yet. We're working on it though, Callie.
Oh, man.
In all seriousness, that was
What's
one of my fears
on?
Because I knew that, obviously, Tom's been talking about this for a while. So we knew this was a pretty good possibility. And then Eric, you know, with his just, you know, complete and utter disdain for everything it is that we do, he looked
true.
Like he was going to leave at any second. And I was really concerned that Tom and Eric were going to both leave in the summer right before training camp. And it was just going to be Andy making fun of my fat, bald head all day. And I was going to be all by myself.
That's still going to happen.
But you're still going to be here, though. So,
for the foreseeable.
Oh,
you said you promised me you wouldn't leave
for
the season.
I gave you the season.
The show is falling apart.
The show is fine. Relax.
Where is Fred at?
I don't know.
He's distraught.
He's distraught. He couldn't do the show.
He was a little disturbed. Yeah.
He had to go home.
Actually,
Fred was talking to Nikki.
Fred was very supportive, very happy. For me. Says it sounds like my dream job. You're getting paid to watch sports.
Mm-hmm. Which you do now, only you're also getting paid to talk about betting on sports.
Yeah, but the difference is the bitter irony of this job is, first of all, I miss a bunch of college football. Then I can't watch a bunch of pro football because I'm covering the Patriots.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like one of those old sports writers who thinks this is actually work, because it's not. But it is. You are working. You know what I mean? So you don't necessarily get to – I love to just sit
there.
There's
an aspect of
the
football season that you miss when you're actually working it.
And when you're watching a game for work as opposed to watching it at home, you watch it differently.
Yeah.
You definitely watch the games differently.
I mean, you watch different things.
Right.
Like when I first got here, I knew about the Lions, and now it's starting to every year chip away a little
you
more.
You know less and less about the rest of the league, don't you?
You don't see them. You just don't see those teams play.
And you don't hear the names all the time because you're not, you know, when you're not here and you're not working, you don't really want to invest a lot of time into watching everything that you can the way you used to when you were watching it all day, you know, wire to wire on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I understand what Tom's point
is. I'm not saying it's a
not
job.
It's not a hard job.
Tom, are you going to be living in actually in Las Vegas or
Henderson?
Las Vegas?
Right, it's like the 15 minutes outside of Las Vegas.
I'm going to be there in January for my 21st birthday.
Oh, are you? I'll get you comped at one of the casinos.
When's your birthday, Kelly?
In January.
January what?
18th.
That's my dad's birthday.
Oh, Martin Luther King weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Three days to party.
You're a stubborn Capricorn like me.
Boring.
You let me know when you'll be out.
There was some more of that flirting that Tom was talking about.
We got to put an end to it. You and strippers come out in January for your birthday. We'll have a hell of a time.
Yeah, we'll have a big-ass party.
How old is he?
He's got to be like my age, right? How old is strippers?
Who?
Strippers, how old is he?
Old enough.
Is he like?
Come on, don't play.
He's in his 30s, right?
Old enough to know better, young enough to do it again.
Hey, all right. No, fair is fair. You're not giving out the details like me.
I got to talk to strippers, see what we can do about a menage a trois.
Ew.
What kind of response is that?
And I expected.
Well, thanks for calling, Callie girl, and I appreciate
all the kind words.
I like your boobs.
Tell strippers I said hi.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
take
care. Wake up, Callie girl.
Let me know.
Bye.
That's funny.
Well, we can't. The emails take about an hour to. Something's wrong with this computer. But
are we down? I see the webmaster, Chris Ferreira. Are we down altogether?
That's not a good sign.
Well, why don't we take a break?
Okay,
then?
We'll
no
take a break.
Being on the air if we're down.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more, with a huge selection of Revolution
Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
We're back, PFW in progress. Now, that's the kind of things I'm going to be missing.
I love it when Fred tries to sing.
Is being here when Fred does stupid things. And that's pretty much any time he's down here.
You remember when he did his Fred Zeppelin?
I don't think I was here for that.
That was a classic. That's in there somewhere.
I got nothing on this computer, Mini Gary. I mean,
are we just out?
Unbelievable. So we're still not on the air?
No. So why are we talking? For the podcast.
Okay.
Well, this is good.
Well, but I can't use the computer.
Chris,
either.
We have our famous webmaster, Chris Ferreira, in house. Mm-hmm. Chris, is this a situation with the internet? You know, with the same kind of problems that we've been having?
It's, you guys have no internet connection in the studio. That's the issue. There's internet connection in the rest of the building. Oh.
We have connectivity throughout the building, but not here.
This 10x10 studio.
All right. Well, this is what happens when Fred isn't around to run the show.
Now that I'm leaving, I can be a little
more. I like that Fred Zeppelin.
There's the Fred Zeppelin.
Now that I'm leaving, I can be a little more open here. When are they going to hire somebody to fix the freaking internet? Seriously. They got these guys they're paying all this money to, and every day the internet goes down five times.
I don't understand it.
But you know what?
As I've been saying, too, for a couple of weeks now, we've identified the problem. We just can't fix it.
Right.
That's why I think that it's not like there's some kind of bug that they can't figure out what it is. They know what it is, so it's obviously the people who are trying to fix it are incompetent.
Tom, are you paying attention at all to any of the local news? And, you know, that's not really sports related. You hear about this situation in Gloucester?
Gloucester, Mass.
Oh, yeah.
Good, hardworking fisherman town. Disgusting. Okay. Well, here's the situation. I know that we have a lot of listeners that aren't in this area. So just briefly, a story came out recently. 17 girls aged 16 and under have become pregnant in the town of Gloucester. At Gloucester High School, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls, 17 of them. The story was, which was first divulged by the principal of Gloucester High School in a Time magazine, Time.com, I guess, story. the principal of Gloucester High School explained that these girls, or some of these girls at the very least, formed a pact with one another to get pregnant. And the story was, it was kind of in line with what's Britney Spears' Jamie Lynn Spears.
And
her pregnancy
film.
And her
another,
young
another great role model for mm-hmm. the for
right.
the young kids.
And her young pregnancy, she just had a baby, and that's when this story came out, is the last week when Jamie Lynn Spears had her baby. So now, obviously, I want to stop short of saying tragic, but a horrible story, you know, for these young girls who were just babies themselves, getting ready to become mothers, 17 of them. Well, now, this is the part that I wanted to get you guys' opinion, because I just didn't get. The mayor of Gloucester seems to be really upset with the principal for saying this, because there seems to be no evidence, according to the mayor, that there was any such pact in place, and why that, you know...
Sort of glossing over the fact that there were just 17 girls getting pregnant.
I mean, regardless of whether or not they did this all intentionally or all as part of a plan, there's 17 girls in your town that go to your high school now who are pregnant.
There's a bigger underlying problem than the pact being made.
Right. So whether or not the principal erred in saying that there was a pact and maybe there was no such thing, I don't know. Who cares if you're the mayor?
The other thing that was getting a lot of play too was the fact that it was one of the fathers of these kids was a 24-year-old homeless guy.
Kid. Yeah.
I believe that this is the number one problem facing our country today. Are these more and more and more and more young girls getting pregnant? So out of those 17, what are the chances one of them is going to contribute to society?
You're probably the odds are so overwhelmingly stacked against these girls that they'll have that their children will have any kind of meaningful
lives. It's so unfortunate because it's not their fault. Allison teaches up in Lowell, which is a very poor. She teaches at a poor school, and she just tells me all the time, you know, I just feel so bad because the parents never they don't care, they're not around. Right. And I said, as sad as it is, there's nothing you're going to be able to do for these kids because they're just going to grow up and be the same pretty much most of the time.
Right.
Will be the same people as their parents, and it's that cycle. They just keep having them younger and younger.
Their best hope, it's sad to say, but their best hope would be to be put up for adoption, find a family.
Well,
you know,
I mean, unfortunately, the only chance they have to have it, you know, by keeping them is probably if they have grandparents that are involved and will end up doing most of the work. That's probably the only chance, you know. I mean, it's just so hard, and they could have the best of intentions. It's just, I mean, at 16, you were at 15 or 16 years old.
I was just going to say that. Like,
I was thinking about how I was at 25.
I couldn't. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Tom. I don't think I could have handled what I'm doing right now at 25.
Yeah. No way.
And I'm certainly not any Father of the Year candidate, but you know, by any stretch.
You mean having a wife and two kids at 25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was by nowhere near mature enough to do it.
I know.
And again, I'm not trying to claim that I'm mature enough now. But
it's comical. It's raising a kid is the hardest thing a human being has to do, is raising, you know, a child, all the care and everything it takes for that.
Forget about the money.
Right. And the money just...
Yeah, the time
and
investment.
To think that a 16, 17-year-old girl can handle that, especially on her own, is just comical to me.
So I just thought that was a story that got a lot of attention around here. I didn't know if if that kind of gotten any kind of national attention.
Well, it's like you said, it was broken
on
Time.com.
Yeah.
It's also in this week's hard copy issue of Time. It's one of their big exposés this week.
Well,
so it is getting national attention.
And really, you know, and Tom mentioned Allison works at in Lowell, right, Tom? You know, that is a big city with a lot of problems, you know, along those lines. A lot of teen pregnancy, a lot of drug use and stuff like that. Gloucester, while not being the most affluent town in Massachusetts, is certainly not, on Lowell's level in terms of the other end of the spectrum. It's a middle class, working, a hard working. It's a Fisher. It's a seaport town. Everybody knows the movie A Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm.
That was based out of Gloucester. You know, there's a lot of hardworking fishermen type people. Not where you would really expect to have something like this. I mean, to me anyway. It surprised me.
I read the story in Time this week, and one of the things they cited was the fact that the fishing base is a lot of it is moving overseas. So a lot of those fishing families aren't, they're either jobless or they're transitioning to other things, and there's not that sense of community anymore, and there's not that family base. And so that was one of the speculations in the article, was that that's one of the reasons why some of these kids are having these problems, because they're not being brought up in the same type of environment that maybe their parents or grandparents were brought up in, like you said. But it's sad.
And
you
know? I also,
and it's so close to where we are that it's hard for us to avoid the story.
I just thought it was really funny that the mayor seems to be more worried about this, the negative impact of the fact that they had a pact
mm-hmm.
to do this intentionally. To me, that would be like the Patriots being more concerned about the practicing of players on IR than Spygate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of like losing the forest through the trees, or whatever that saying goes mm-hmm. that I always mess up.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really understand why. I mean, I think that's an interesting part of the story, that they did it on purpose,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the most important part of the story.
I think a lot of the people who are in charge are panicking at this point.
You know what the average is for that town for teen pregnancy?
It's like four times.
Three.
Yeah. It's,
and they have 17.
Right.
I mean, that to me is the issue, not whether or not they all did this because of Jamie Lynn Spears or some sort
of. The Juno effect is what it was being referred to.
Right, right.
The bad movie.
Here he goes.
Now, you saw the movie, right, Tom?
Yeah.
And you saw the movie.
I did, yeah.
Did they glorify it in the movie?
No.
Because I was told, I've heard conflicting reports. I didn't see the movie.
No.
I was so freaking bored, I can't even remember.
No, they didn't glorify it, but what they did was in most of those movies, the girl would get an abortion or some other procedures, you know, there would be contraception or whatever, but this girl decides to have the child and put it up for adoption because she realizes that she's in no condition to raise a child herself. She's, I believe, 16 in the movie. Her character, and she gives it up for adoption.
What's her name again?
Juno.
No, what's her?
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page.
The actress.
Ellen
actress, Page. Yeah. So, no, the movie doesn't glorify the fact that she's, she doesn't go around bragging that she's having it. She takes responsibility and says, you know what?
Well, a lot of them were blaming the movie because they kind of made it seem a lot easier, and she was like this lighthearted character. She had a great sense
of humor. She did.
And everything was okay. And
well, she had.
Other people were saying, I don't know if you really saw the movie, but they didn't. That's not really accurate.
She came from a family with a father and a stepmother and like a little sister. So she gets pregnant by her best friend, who's the kid Michael Cera from Arrested Development.
Please don't get too far into this.
No,
because
Tom really hated the movie.
Bored me the first time. But.
She initially wants to get an abortion, goes to the clinic, and then has second
thoughts.
I don't
need the synopsis. I just wanted to know if you thought it was dark or if it was horrifying.
It was neither. It wasn't horrifying, and it was
it certainly wasn't
comedy.
Funny.
It was a dark comedy, Tom.
If dark means not funny, then... Listen, I love to laugh, but I love a good comedy.
Is that like Muhammad Ali right there? Muhammad, why do you have to be so truculent? Well, I don't know what that means, but if it's good, I'm in.
But no, it's not glorified, Paul. They don't glorify it.
It's not
it by
glorified anyone. Or good. We're back on, and after I deleted the 35 emails that said you're off the air, Stripper said...
See, the only one emailing
you got to see the Juno chick in Hard Candy. If you haven't seen it, you have to rent it. Hard Candy. Is the name of the
is that
film.
Oh, God.
Is that an impromptu word of the day? Hard candy.
That's
hard candy.
We have some, a lot of people saying congrats and everything, but I thought I'd read TG and NJ because he brings up a very good point with my leaving here. He said, there's going to be a big hole at PFW without you, Tom. I'm going to miss your nasal twang and football insight. Been a pleasure listening to you rant and rave. Who in the hell is going to laugh at Andy's jokes now? I think that's the big loser here, is Andy Hart.
Right, his best audience is going out the door.
Now he's just going to do
download.
He's just going to do his little jokes, and there's going to be crickets in the background.
Yeah. Well, some of those people, some of our listeners find his sophomore humor mm-hmm. funny.
But so, you're right, his biggest audience is
no doubt
going to be in Vegas.
And you'll
you
be listening.
Sucked that bone dry. I'll be listening.
That's my personal favorite part of the Indyisms is that little
the end, the laughing
stupid
at himself.
Chuckle at himself after every single one of those lines.
Strippers. So,
oh my God.
Josh, no, it's
this?
Not strippers. It's, but
you
we'll,
sucked that
we'll
bone
have
dry.
One from strippers in about 2 seconds. Because Josh in Arlington wants to know. He says the dirty sucks, and he says he thought you were going to break some kind of huge story on
Kobe
Bryant, and you're all full of crap. That's basically what his email says.
Hmm. Well, yeah, Nick did call us and say he did have some scoop.
Nick
Ritchie. That he was going to unload during the finals or when the finals ended. So we're waiting. Haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Those crickets in the background?
I'm trying to get caught up here because I had to delete all those emails to talk about something.
Talk amongst yourselves. All right.
Okay, I got one.
Oh.
There you go. Okay, TG and NJ again. He said my voice hasn't changed, which it hasn't. A lot of times I sounded like I had a cold because I couldn't breathe out of one end, so I can breathe a lot better. But no change to the voice. He said, Paul, you're not the only one on the planet that doesn't partake in fantasy football. I myself haven't caught the bug, afraid it will suck me in and I'll never see the sun again. Don't care if they're taking steroids. I kind of expect it, even think they should be able to in order to heal faster. Got to get that product back on the field. So TG and NJ doesn't care if they take steroids.
TG, I'm interested in if you want to send something back. What is it about? I mean, you said you're kind of afraid you'll get sucked in. Is there a reason that you don't want to get sucked in? A reason that you don't like it? I mean, for me personally, it's just that it's the touchdowns of it. It's not about who the best players are. It's who ends up scoring touchdowns, and that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
And it's not just football. You don't play any fantasy, like no baseball.
No, I've done some stuff. Like I'm partners in a media baseball league, but I don't do any of the work. I give half the money, and I do it just to kind of hang out with the guy, you know, and that kind of stuff. I used to do things before I got married, you know, just for the draft, so you could show up and drink about, you know, 50 beers and mm-hmm. eat buffalo wings
and
stuff like that.
The draft is the most fun part
of it. That stuff I'm all for, just for that kind of camaraderie, for lack of a better word. But I just, you know, watching football with the thought of my players in mind takes all the fun out of watching the game for mm-hmm. me. You know,
well,
because
in our
I'm worried
case,
about,
least,
oh, come on, I want my team to score, but I don't want that guy to score the touchdown. You know,
at least, like Tom said earlier, in our case, we're too busy watching the Patriots. We can't really spend much time watching the other games, so there's not much of a...
Tell him and Andy that.
See, I just...
They know every single guy. They know when they're winning. They know they track it as it's going.
Basically, how I play is I root for what I'm going to root for. Like, I'm going to root for if the other guy's got T.O. and Romo, I don't
You still
care.
Want the Cowboys to score 50.
If I want the Lions to beat the Bears, mm-hmm. I'm going to root for Roy Williams to have a big game. Mm-hmm. But if it ends up turning out to be my, you know, the other way, then at least I got, you know, I kind of got. But I don't actually root for my fantasy players. I root for what I'm going to root for, and then whatever happens in fantasy, shakes out. But first off, the consensus is Mini Gary should be fired. For all these problems that we are having, I tend to agree.
Well, yeah, I'm certainly not going to argue for that.
It doesn't seem like when Big Gary's here that we have all these problems.
Are there any openings in Vegas?
Actually, we're going to be starting a podcast. So
you sure you want to bring him along?
Download the podcast now. Can you believe I'm going to be in charge of stuff like that?
You're going to be in charge of podcasts?
Yeah, I can. Fred's in charge of it here.
That was kind of the thing that made me believe I could do it.
Oh, my God.
So we have Anthony from Maine wants to talk about the brawl from last week between Paul and Fred. He said, last week in the Paul versus Fred epic argument, you guys once again brought up the point about Belichick making mistakes in games to end the last few seasons. Now, I'm a Fred-esque homer here. There's a surprise. So I'm not going to offer my opinion on this thing. But I do think that it's worth mentioning this. Didn't Belichick set a precedent the entire season for going for it on fourth down over trying long field goals? This was not a one-time thing at all. It's something they did all season. Maybe it wasn't a great idea against the Giants' pass rush, but I can't say I was surprised when it happened. It was nothing new.
I don't think what surprised us was that they went for it on fourth down. I don't want to speak for you.
It's the only time all year they went for a fourth and more than four?
That's my point.
I believe.
It wasn't fourth and short.
Like it was four. It was the it only was time they went
13.
For a fourth and 13, I'll tell you that.
Fourth and double digits. It's not like it was like a gimme. It's not like one of those fourth downs like Brady QB sneaking to get a yard.
Sure. If it was fourth and,
if it was fourth
fourth
and, one,
and three, I wouldn't have thought.
You
know, I would say they have a better shot of getting a fourth and three than they do of hitting a 49-yard field goal.
Absolutely. But a fourth and 13, I mean, come on. And the guy he throws to is double covered down the sidelines?
And really, it wasn't so much. I mean, I disagreed with the decision. We all did at the time. And we all talked about it on the way home, if I recall, when we were driving back from the
Stadium.
From the stadium. Yeah. That very night, that was our number one topic of conversation. But it wasn't so much about the decision as the fact that really no one, in our opinion, this is, you know, what started the brawl. I didn't think it was a brawl, but I apologize if I offended anybody. That was basically what our talk was about, was that no one really because he's won so much, no one is allowed.
No one pressed him on
it. It's not that he doesn't get it. It seems like you're not allowed to question him about it because so quickly they rush to his defense. And I understand he won 3 Super Bowls. I'm not saying that he should lose a job. You know, I'm just saying balance it out. If he made decisions that helped you win Super Bowls, in this case, I think he made one that hurt you.
Do you think?
And I'm not saying it lost it. I'm saying it hurt you.
And that nobody really,
no,
really took
it yeah,
to task.
No one can do it because around here, they're so quick to rally to his defense.
Yeah, and listen, I suffered for many, many years when the Cowboys were down. And there's nobody I love more than Jimmy Johnson because it was him who brought the Cowboys back. Now, he was a great coach. But every now and then I'd sit there and I'd say, listen, I know he knows more than me, but that call just sucked. It just sucked. You know what I mean? Like,
right, they're human
beings.
It's
human nature right. to disagree with people on certain aspects.
And as great as Jimmy Johnson, Bill Belichick, Vince Lombardi, as great as they are football minds, they are human too.
Right.
And they can make mistakes.
The part that makes it not human is when nobody questions any of their decisions.
That's what I was going to ask you, Tom. At the time, I don't know if you were into the internet age as much, 10, 12 years ago when Jimmy Johnson was with the Cowboys, but when you talked to Cowboys fans, fellow Cowboys fans, did they rally against that? When you questioned a call, were you beat down? Oh, this guy's won 2 Super Bowls for us.
There was a belief that sometimes in big regular season games, not the playoffs, but in regular season games, Jimmy could be a little conservative and rely too much on Emmitt. And I'll point to that game, the famous Emmitt Smith game.
The shoulder.
Johnson should be
Stadium.
Shot for doing what he did, in all honesty. Continuing to throw him the football. I mean, Michael Irvin didn't touch the ball, I think, from the middle of the third quarter on. You know what I mean? It happened to work out because mm-hmm. Emmitt's Emmitt, mm-hmm. but... That was one of Jimmy's worst called games ever, and that was for the NFC East title. And that was the one game I always point to where he just, to me, was just not on his game. But do I think he's a bad coach?
No.
No, I disagreed with the game plan that day.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough how much I think of Belichick as a coach. I mean, I think he's the best in the business, and I make no bones about that. I've said it many times. I just, that particular day and that particular call, I didn't agree with, that's all.
And I can tell you this, if my favorite team had 4th and 13 and passed up that field goal, my first thing out of my mouth would be, what in the F are they doing?
Right.
Because 4th and 13, you have such, someone wrote in and said on the message board there, the PFW in progress, it was a long field goal. You don't know if he's going to make it.
No, you don't.
Well, but I know that you're not going to make a 4th and 13. Yeah, you know
right.
what the odds are of
less
making
than
4th and 13?
Right.
Again, as we said, 4th and 3, 4th and 2, 4th and 4 even.
Sure.
I wouldn't have blinked an eye. But fourth and 13,
yeah.
Come on.
You know, it just was. It was in that area where you didn't have much of a chance to convert that.
Right. Your chances are better of converting the 49-yard field
goal. And I don't know why. Yeah.
Of getting the
I don't know why
a
49-yard field goal indoors is such an unmakeable kick. I mean,
right. Unless there was we've speculated. Unless there was something with Gostkowski that we don't know about.
I mean, does anybody think in Super Bowl 36 there was 7 seconds left,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
7 seconds left.
For the 48.
When they spiked the ball.
Yep.
And it was a 48-yard field mm-hmm. goal by Vinatieri. Does anybody think they should have tried a quick out for 5 yards?
No.
And gotten right out of bounds? Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anybody saying that.
No.
I mean, so obviously a 48-yard, I mean, they had time.
Mm-hmm.
That was an option. You had plenty of time
yep.
to run another play and get right out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You run a quick out. If it's not there, nothing ventured, nothing lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kick the field goal anyway. So you had plenty of time to spend 5 seconds to throw a quick out to try to get 5 yards and make it a shorter field goal. No one thought they should have done that.
Right.
Strippers has emailed in on why they didn't break the story, although I can't read it on the air, so it's pretty much irrelevant. But thanks, Strippers. The guy who bought us lunch today, we got into everything so quickly. Chris from the Bronx, as usual.
Thank you, Chris.
Good job,
good
Chris.
Friend Chris. So I'm going to read his email now. It's basically about Eric, and it looks pretty funny to me. He says, "Hi, guys. Hope lunch arrives okay. It took about 5 minutes to order from the guy at D'Angelo, so it sounds like they're breaking in the summer staff. Just one quick question and one observation. The observation is for Eric. Stop taking grief from your coworkers. About 95% of all listeners know you're not gay. No one would make fun of you if you were. That's just not funny. So roll with it and counterpunch. With what the guys you work with are perfect, stop getting angry and start looking at ways to poke fun at them. You're too analytical.
just make something up and stick with it. Andy's not there today, I'm assuming, so make fun of him in his absence, just for practice. He has a gigantic head, he talks about male genitalia all the time, he has no bowel control, and he lives on a farm. Come on!
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. Nice,
yeah, that
his,
too.
His question actually is what happened about to the Kobe Bryant news from strippers. Boy, strippers, you really screwed the pooch on that. I mean, I forgot all about it, but people are emailing in left and right. Mm-hmm. He said, thanks a lot, guys. Glad to have you on during the long off season. Chris from the Bronx. And thanks,
job, Chris,
for the food. We
good
appreciate
advice,
it,
too.
As always. And, yeah, that's the Andy's kind of easy to make fun of.
Oh, well, are you kidding me? Yeah. First of all, we're all walking targets.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of put ourselves out there every show, and we take a lot of heat, but the only one that seems to be overly flustered by it is Eric.
That's my role, though. I thought that's come to be my role.
Well, you play it well then, my friend.
Right. You want to eat my salad?
So, Brent from Illinois, he said, so you mentioned that you would talk about it after the salad, so share your thoughts on Imus and Pac-Man. And he said, also, Tom, are you sure Fred did not go out and celebrate?
No,
we can
sure.
Neither confirm nor deny. The Imus so, thing is, yeah. To me, I'm on this show, and I get some static for this. Nothing bothers me. The PC stuff,
yeah,
I am not offended by anything.
Either.
Matter of fact, there was another minor one this week by Johnny Miller from the U.S. Open, where he said something about the U.S. Open can't be – I forget exactly what the words were. The U.S. Open can't be won by a guy named Rocco or something along those lines.
He said he should be cleaning Tiger's pool.
Okay, well,
that's funny.
Yeah, to me, you know, being an Italian American, and I'm on a panel here with two others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how you guys felt about it.
No,
I laughed.
Right.
I
yeah,
felt just the way
things,
Tom just said.
I don't
said.
Care about those things.
That so almost none of this stuff offends me. What I miss said about Pac-Man Jones offended me. I mean, that's to me blatantly racist. And you can read the
yeah,
you
if
know,
anyone
the
has
comments.
Memory. So his first comment was, I guess he was talking with Warner Wolf, the sports guy.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Pac-Man Jones, and Imus asked, and all his run-ins with the law, and he said, what color is he? And Wolf said, African-American. Imus responded, there you go, now we know. And then he followed it up with, what people should be outraged about is that they arrest blacks for no reason. I mean, there's no reason to arrest this kid six times. Maybe he did something once, but everyone does something once.
But wasn't that today he said that?
Yeah,
that was
the story
that
ended.
Was today.
Yeah,
right,
the
yes.
story ended with the other
with the
thing,
other
right,
comment, and
you
then
said,
today he
well,
followed
there you
it up
go.
With it. Right,
he's trying right. to make the point that he was trying to say he was unfairly arrested six times because he's black.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, if he had any knowledge of the situation, he would know that Pac-Man Jones somehow lucked out, only getting arrested six times, based on some of the stories that we've heard. Now, none of us knows the guy personally, so I don't know. But based on what we've heard about Pac-Man Jones, he's probably rather fortunate to only have been arrested six times. He's been involved in some serious crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He wasn't profiled. He didn't get, you know, there's not a bouncer in Las Vegas who's paralyzed today because Pac-Man Jones is black. That's not why. I mean, he bit a cop, for God's mm-hmm. sakes. I mean, this is not an upstanding, law-abiding citizen. But you can't make the argument to me that you were talking about the fact that he was unfairly penalized because he's black. You can't make that argument to me. You can't.
But that's what Imus was trying
that's
to
what
say.
He's trying to say now.
And now
the man's
day.
A racist.
The man's a racist.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Now,
everybody
he
says
lose his job.
Everybody says something every now and again that they don't mean to say, and they were trying to be funny. But after a few times, let's be honest. The guy, you know, we always say take shots and say funny things. How many racist things have we said on the show other than Eric? Who did he say the Africa thing? Who said the Africa thing?
No, that wasn't me.
That's Africa hot. Who,
it's Africa hot.
Yeah,
that's Andy.
Oh, I mean, I say that all the time, but that's just because it's hot.
No, there was something said here once. I think it might have been Kyle who said.
Oh, the
something.
Dark. Oh, he said
oh,
the dark continent.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I mean that there's people have referenced that of Africa, but we kind of wondered if maybe that was one of those old things that probably had racial.
Right,
maybe.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
On this
connotations.
Here, that's about as far as it'll go is something that we're not really sure if it does or it doesn't. We just have heard it before. But if we constantly made fun of African-Americans and said things.
What is he doing?
We're racists.
There?
We're bigots.
Side note to the whole Pac-Man story. Did you guys happen to see last week that the woman who was involved in that was found dead?
And just to show you how much Pac-Man's changed, my good buddy Albert Breer, who
Dallas Morning News,
by the way, leaving the Dallas Morning News
sporting,
to go to the Sporting News.
News, and is ducking me at every turn because I've lost my inside information guy at Dallas, is trying to make up for it now. Mm-hmm. So Pac-Man had on Saturday, he had a boys and girls charity thing that he did himself. Okay, this is something Pac-Man did. So I get a text message from Breer because I had talked to him the night before and he said he was going. He said, at Boys and Girls Club, Pac-Man's 45 minutes late. So I get another one, 75 minutes, still no Pac-Man. I mean, can you imagine that? Here's a guy who's trying to rebuild his image. He's got a bunch of underprivileged boys and girls there, and what is he ended up being an hour and a half late for his own charity
event.
That's
funny.
See, but
ridiculous.
Now, if that was, say that was Brady, I'd say okay, because he doesn't have a history.
Exactly.
But it's one after another after another.
If it was Randy Moss, I would say, because this is a guy who's done a lot of charity things, and he doesn't have a history of blowing it off. But Pac-Man, he doesn't get that same benefit of the doubt.
And as far as him being, the thing came out, he wants to be called Adam. Now, listen to how stupid this is. His quote was, and I'll quote, "I'd rather be called Adam or Mr. Jones."
That's just foolish.
There's
the
another guy down there that I think they refer to as Mr. Jones.
Right.
It's the billionaire who owns the club. I mean, that is just so, call me Mr. Jones.
I didn't even really think of that. But I kind of like the idea of the Pac-Man thing. And not because I think there's any negative stuff, but I think that it's...
To show
I think
that he's grown up?
Yeah, it's him trying to symbolize that I understand that I've done wrong and I'm trying to do something about it.
But then he had to add
and
the Mr. Jones.
Yeah, the Mr. Jones thing.
Who the hell is going to call you Mr. Jones?
That's just stupid. But in this case... I think he would do well to come out for Imus here, and just say, something.
Yeah, people
that,
make mistakes.
Yeah, seriously, because right now, and Florio wrote this, right now for the one of the few times in his life, he's not the villain. I think that's the way Florio wrote it, and I totally agree with that. He has a chance right now to put himself in a positive light by how he handles this. Don't make a big, don't go all Al Sharpton on Imus. I think Imus deserves whatever negativity he gets coming his way, and it's not just because I don't like Imus, but I think what Tom said. I think after a while you kind of establish what you are,
and
what he is to me is a racist.
And I like what Al Sharpton said. He said, "We're thinking about how to react to this." Well, then it's not racism, because when it's racism,
you know it.
You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
Well, he's a whole different.
But like I agree with Paul. I think Imus is a racist, but. I think in Sharpton's case, you got to let stuff like this go, because it's like with Fred with us, where he says, I'm not going to fight that battle. It's just not big enough when we're trying to put something in the paper or something.
Right.
I think if you're Al Sharpton, you just say, listen, the guy's an idiot. He's proven he's an idiot. Let's move on.
And I think with those kinds of causes, I think that you belittle them by strongly reacting to every single thing that happens. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I don't think
they don't.
They don't.
They like the
attention.
And by they, I'm talking specifically about the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
Mm-hmm. And I remember
before anybody calls me a racist for saying they.
Todd,
I mean two people specifically.
Those two. I know who you're
Todd
talking
from
about.
Nova Scotia has reminded me what the racist comment was I was trying to think of. The most racist thing I've ever heard on this show was Eric's Obama speaking of watermelon comment.
No, that's not. No.
That's what I was thinking of.
That was a racist comment.
It was not, because I was not talking about that.
What are you? Todd also says, Tom,
what is the matter with you?
What are you doing, Mini Gary?
Gary, you suck. You suck at your job. You really do.
God.
You're terrible. He just sits there and giggles. He's terrible.
Look at him. He's all flustered.
He is.
Now.
He's flustered.
Don't you have a passing camp to go to?
Todd from Nova Scotia also says, Tom, you can't go because when you leave us alone with Uncle Eric, he touches us in our private places.
that's not right.
What do you want?
The other thing, though, about that. About
the way Glenn Miller played.
He's all done. Look at him. He's done.
He is.
Took him 20 minutes to do what Gary does in 8 seconds.
Of course, Gary would be looking for that Red Queen right now anyway.
Well, that's why it takes him 8 seconds. It should take him one.
The interesting thing, though, I thought was that nobody really made a big deal about that woman being found dead, the one in the Pac-Man Jones case.
Yeah, I had heard it, and then I didn't really hear another thing about
that. That raises a red flag to me, especially since the initial report was from the police was that it appeared that she died from a fall. From a high story building. So
the guy's no good. I mean, the guy's no good.
That's what I mean. That I wouldn't be surprised if we're not going to see some dots connected at some point with that. So,
okay, we have something on Eric here from Brian. He says, don't fire Mini Gary. Make him work on Rook Show. The biggest winner here is Eric, as Fred has probably abandoned any thought of moving him to another time slot. I can tell Eric sees hope, as he has never chimed in more than he has today. Take note, Fred.
No, the problem is there's no big-headed Andy who won't shut up, and there's no Fred who talks about silliness all the time.
So that's really your problem, is Andy. You can't...
Yeah,
you don't
just
know,
don't like
you don't,
Andy.
You don't, and you don't know how to handle him. Like,
which,
you don't
get me wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong on that.
But he also doesn't know how... He gets too flustered. He doesn't know how to handle Andy.
Yeah. You gotta... Because well, you can't show any weakness.
When you try to talk, Andy has this tendency of jumping in before you finish talking and trying to make a comment about something that he thinks you're going to be commenting about.
Yeah,
so
does.
It's hard. It's hard to get a point across. And
he does, but with your superior intellect, I would imagine you'd be able to work around that problem.
That's a good point, Paul.
Christian Simonelli, our good friend, says, 4th and 13, I still can't believe they went for it. I totally agree. To me, it says you have no confidence in your kicker whatsoever, indoors nonetheless. That's what I took from it. Eric, some advice for you.
Oh, great.
The less information you give the guys, the more you will get tortured. Take it from me. In my group of friends, we have an Eric who acts somewhat pompous, and all we do is break his balls. He's one incident away from being a permanent resident at the Lindman Mental Hospital. Loosen up, buddy. So that's from Christian.
All right.
Can you tape this and send it to me, please? Because the next time he goes, why do you guys think I'm pompous? I just want to hit play.
That's one of my personal favorites.
That is a good
Tom,
one.
By
that
the
is
way.
A good one, Tom.
Oh, by the way, just speaking of racism, you know how we always say, like, white receivers are compared to white receivers and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Well, you remember that Amendola, the kid coming out of mm-hmm. Texas Tech this year,
yeah.
who people wanted to compare to Wes Welker?
Well, he compared himself.
Yeah. yeah. Well, Breer talked to the coach who coached both of them, and he said, this guy isn't even in the same league as Wes Welker as far as a player. Mm-hmm. So Breer still wrote it comparing the two, and he said, eh, they're both small white receivers. What are you going to do? So there you go. There you go. It's racist comments. Bob has something here. I think we've stumbled upon a new...
Does everybody agree with us that we think that Imus made racist comments? Because I... Man.
Yeah, what do you guys think out there?
That's what I'm basically wondering about.
He says, you're forgetting what a racist... I don't think I can say that word. I can? Mini Gary says
what,
I can.
What,
you're forgetting what a racist bastard Andy Hart is with the Irish.
Oh, well, that's different.
So that's Rob from Arlington. Well,
Andy doesn't really hate the Irish.
Okay. It's Kamai, your buddy. And he says, ask Eric what he did over the weekend.
Why?
Let's see his reaction.
He writes that every week. This guy is...
Well, what'd you do over the weekend?
I want to know who this guy is.
He obviously knows what you did.
No, he doesn't know what
yes,
I did.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, why would he write that?
He writes that all the time, Tom. Every time he writes in the first of the week, that's what he writes in.
It's like the FBI is following you, taking notes.
I don't know. Just move on to something important.
All right. This is
Tom's all disappointed.
This is Taz. Right. He says, hey, I'm not sure if this sent the first time. My email messed up. Hey,
and our internet wasn't working.
Yeah,
so.
He said, do you think the Patriots will go back to throwing almost every down, or will their attack be more balanced this year? With the pounding they took in the Super Bowl, you would think they would run the ball more now to give their O-line a break. It seems that most teams have caught up to what happened in the Super Bowl and will try the same thing. So what do you guys think? Will someone like Maroney be a key part of the offense to get those yards, or will it once again be Welker's job through the air, even without Stallworth, who's gone, who used to... take some of the double coverage off Welker.
Well, so do you guys... Welker's job to move the ball? There was another guy who had about 500 more yards and about 15 more touchdowns.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm assuming he means as a kind of replacement for the running game, like against the Steelers.
Let me ask you, and I'll get you guys' opinion on this. Could the offense have been any better last year?
No.
No.
Could
not
they
according
have set,
to NFL history.
Could they have set any more records off it? They lost the Super Bowl, and I think we're clouded by that because we were so stunned by it. And I certainly say we because I'm in the category of being stunned by the fact that they lost in the Super Bowl.
And only scored 14 points.
I have no problems whatsoever with how they went about attacking teams offensively.
No, because it worked.
They moved the ball at will throughout the season in every game, pretty much bar none.
Pretty much.
Until the Super
Bowl. It got tight in the playoffs.
They went 18-1 doing it this way. I don't think it needs to be revamped. I think that maybe, you know, you might want to try some different things during the course of the year, but I don't think you want to really stray very far
From
what you do beyond that. Just the normal, okay, We know that teams are going to adjust the way they play defense against us to make sure that things don't happen the same way. That normal adjustment that you do from year to year, from game to game, from segment of season to segment of season, yeah, you're going to make adjustments. But I have no problems if Wes Welker catches 100 passes next year and Randy Moss gets 1,500 more yards. I think you can win a lot of games doing that.
I agree with that. I also just want to point out that before Morris and Maroney had their health issues,
A lot more balanced offensively than people remember, too.
Right. They were scoring at will. They were moving the ball at will. But their pass-to-run ratio to that point, to about week six or so, was close to 50-50.
Yeah.
And they were still putting up 30 to 40 points a game. Brady was throwing
Ball early in games to score, and then they were running the clock out late in games with Morris and Maroney.
Right.
That changed a little bit when they both got hurt.
Then they threw
Morris first,
every down.
Then Maroney, and then they started kind of going away from the running game. But down the stretch, and listen, Tom and I were the two biggest critics of Lawrence Maroney that there could be. And down the stretch, he proved us wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we both said it. Maroney was excellent in December. They had a strong running game. He scored from the red zone. He got tough yards inside.
He
had some big games. And right into the playoffs against Jacksonville and San Diego. Again, he was very effective. Now, in the Super Bowl, it wasn't for a lack of trying. They weren't effective, running or passing. They were not good offensively in the Super Bowl. I don't think it was game plan. I just think they got beat.
If Maroney can run the way he ran that last month or so of the season.
Hey, in December, he was a terrific running
back. He was great. And if he can do that and stay healthy for 16 games, they might not be better statistically, but there will be a more balanced
offense,
and they'll still move the ball, and they'll still score points.
I have no worries whatsoever about their offense. I think they're going to score a lot of points again.
Okay,
as long as everyone's healthy.
Callie girl put her on the Fire Mini Gary bandwagon. She says, apparently my call didn't air, thanks to the freaking two-gender Ferreira combo. You suck. Well, Tom, I'll call again later. I'm still sad. So
it'll air on the podcast.
Yeah, it'll air on the podcast, Callie.
So Mini Gary's not making many friends, although you have one fan on that website that loves you for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. Someone wrote in and said, you know, why are you a fan of Mini Gary's? What does he do?
Wasn't that you who wrote that, Tom?
No. It's Touchdown Tommy. It's not me. Jesus.
Tommy Vardell is on PFW in Progress? Wow. Now we're getting former players to jump in on this?
What do you do in there? Why would anybody be a fan of you?
He does chime in more than Big Gary.
I'm missing the whole world. I miss fantasy football. I'm missing this forum talk.
Oh, you got to go to the forum. That's phenomenal. But the one thing, one of the main reasons, things I'm going to miss here is that somebody can go to a Patriots forum, use the first name of the best quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. This is what the guy said, that Touchdown Tommy actually means Tom Brady. But people will think that it's Tom Casale. You know what I mean? Like, that is just amazing. Absolutely.
Maybe it's Tom Brady.
Maybe. But
can you get access to that website no matter what country you're in at the time? It is the World Wide Web, after all, right?
But, no, I'll be on that board, but I'll be chiming in as Tom Casale. So I got some things I need to get off my chest. Trust me.
I'll be looking forward to those.
Yeah. Believe me, once I leave here, you're going to want to be on that board. I might write a book.
Someone will fill me in. I'll get it secondhand.
That's a good board, though. They talk about everybody. It's they got like six threads on like Eric's. This one guy wrote in. Did you see it, Eric? This one guy wrote in like a six paragraph, almost term paper about Eric, about, you know, going to Rook show, why it's good. I mean, unbelievable. I can't believe I don't know that much about you, and I work with you.
See, I don't have to read it because Chris Ferrero just comes over like a little schoolgirl and says,
gives you the Cliff Notes version.
Paul, there's some guy on there that hates you. I'm like, yeah?
Yeah, well.
They're the same guys that call in and tell me they hate me too, Chris. What are you going
to
do?
And if we went over and told Ferreira everybody that hates him, it'd take up the whole day. I'm lost. Let's take a break here, Mini Gary.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor
Drummond just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination. Featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Okay, we're back at PFW in progress.
Great movie, by the way. Great movie. Swingers?
I like it.
You are a fool.
You really didn't like Swingers? I figured that would be your kind of movie.
You'd think it would be.
I liked it, didn't love it.
I kept waiting for more, I guess. I saw it recently. I saw it like in the last 3 or 4 months. Like,
oh,
for
really?
The first time ever.
See, if you had seen it 10 years ago, I think you might have.
I didn't get all the lingo.
One of the things I really liked about it was I really didn't know anything about Vince Vaughn before I saw that movie.
Well, and that's the other thing, too.
Vince Vaughn? He's now done that 7 times since.
No, I'm a huge Vince Vaughn fan.
Yeah,
like,
I like him too.
He can play his role in any movie, and I'll think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was okay in that movie, but I didn't get
those voicemails for that girl.
Some funny parts. That's one of those movies. You know what that movie's like? It's like Office Space.
Yes, it's a cult classic.
No, right, but Office Space to me is a decent movie. But if you listen to some people talk about Office Space, they think it's the greatest movie that's ever been made. That's how I was. Swingers was told to me by my friend. Like,
yeah,
you got to see this.
That can affect it,
and it does. Didn't see Office Space.
The usual,
right, yet, Paul.
I think I did see it, but I didn't think it was all that great.
But when you were asking before you saw it,
yeah,
me and Andy both told you it's not going to be nearly as good as people make it out to be. It's kind
the
of
the Usual
a funny
Suspects
movie.
Is the movie for me. That everybody told me it was going to change my life, basically.
That was a good movie.
I liked it. But, you know, just
good ending.
Felt like I missed it because it was ruined.
Well, that's
for
the
me.
Thing. The ending makes the movie. Like,
the
know,
ending of that movie is really
makes
good.
The movie. But that's one of those where I don't really watch over and over again because.
Which one?
The Usual Suspects.
Well, those kinds of movies don't play well.
Yeah,
those kinds of movies don't play well.
Swingers and Office Space are just the opposite. No matter how many times you watch it, though. You're still going to laugh at the spots that you find
funny. I'll
give
swingers another watch at some point.
Kind of like Andy with cars.
Maybe it caught me at the wrong time. You know, maybe I was I was mad about something. You never know.
Plus, if you didn't see that when you were in your 20s, I think that has something to do with it, Tom. Honestly.
I'll give it another watch.
All right. He just called you old. We're the same age.
Reed chimes in. He says, hey, it's Reed from the Cape. I can understand Fred and Paul getting into a heated argument, but come on. You two idiots argued for an hour and 15 minutes. I would rather have listened to Eric host again. But the most disturbing thing is the relationship between Cali girl and strippers. Do strippers have a job? All right, I have some questions that need to be answered. I guess this one's for strippers. Does Cali girl like it in the can or the bottle? then in the middle of nowhere.
Her Pepsi.
And then in the middle of nowhere, he just throws in what players are free agents at the end of the year and finishes, why isn't Patriots.com as good as PFW and Progress.com?
Well, you have to ask Chris Ferrer the answer to the last
one. Chris has nothing
to
do with it.
So it's out of all that, he wanted to know what players
know who the free agents are next year.
Ferrer sucks. Merry Christmas.
Usually when you have, you ruined it. You have a title that says get rid of Eric and I'm all game. And then I turn to it and it's like five paragraphs. I just don't read those.
Good. Move on.
Although I did see at the bottom, he finds Andy funny. Okay. We got some Imus stuff.
Hey, I got one thing for you before you get to that next email, Tom. Today heading into the stadium on WEEI. They've been auctioning off for the last couple of days the dress shirt that Doc Rivers was wearing, coach of the Celtics, when he got doused with the Gatorade at the end of the game last week. And they wanted to auction that off for EEI did it in conjunction with the Celtics for the Shamrock Foundation to raise money. It's autographed by Doc and Paul Pierce, and it's the actual shirt that he had with the big Gatorade stain on it. Well, Bill Parcells called into EEI this morning and through Gatorade, donated $20,000 for the shirt. And, he pledged for the auction. He bid $20,000, and he said that he wanted the Celtics to keep the shirt and display it any way that they see fit for the fans to see, which was a nice gesture by Parcells.
I do like New England very much.
And Callahan and Dennis talked to him for a little bit, talking about the Dolphins and about some other things and blah, blah, blah. Well, about an hour later, some South Shore company, I missed this, so I apologize for not giving credit, called in, and they had about another hour of the auction was closing at 10 this morning, and they bid $22,500. So they outbid Parcells, and I don't know how that ended up wrapping up. Right,
Parcells was using Gatorade's money? Is that what
I don't know exactly. It was through Gatorade. I don't think it was all out of his pocket. I think it was part, both. I think it was
matching funds kind of thing?
Yeah. I think it was something like that. I don't think it was all out of Parcells' pocket. It had something to do with Gatorade. Obviously, Parcells was the first coach in sports to be doused with the Gatorade,
mm-hmm.
For the Giants' the first Giants. Super Bowl
yep.
title back in 86.
Interesting.
I just thought that was an interesting story that he called in and
but you don't have the donated. End.
Well, I mean, the end was 22-5. Well,
if anyone knows what happened with that, now I'm kind of interested. That I'm sure you were listening to EEI this morning. Someone out there, let us know who
I inadvertently left Tom a cliffhanger.
Who ended up getting the Doc Rivers shirt on WEEI this morning.
If it's okay that Criminal Minds can have someone die and we don't know who it is until next year, but I can't tell you an auction story.
I wasn't happy with Criminal Minds. Strippers has some over-unders for us. Adrian Peterson, 600 yards rushing.
Over.
600?
I mean, I'm sorry, 1,600.
Oh.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go under. Just
not by much.
But it's hard when you don't have a quarterback who's really tested. And
he'll get hurt.
This one's easy. Chargers, 11.5 wins. I'm going to go under.
I'll go over. I think that's a dreadful division.
I think if you're guessing those things, it's so hard to get 12 or 13 wins. Maybe it's easier in today's football with all the crappy teams.
I'll give him 12 wins. I'll go with the
over. Dolphins, 4.5 wins. I'll go over.
I'll go over.
I'm going to go under.
In that crappy division, you figure they could split with the Jets and the Bills. There's two.
Three,
a lot of people,
3-13.
Sweep the Patriots.
A lot of people high on that Sperano.
Really?
That's the buzz. Is that I got to be honest with you. Even though he was in Dallas, I just knew he was a. They thought
I
highly of
a friend
of
that
coach,
was on his staff at New Haven. Believe it or not.
What'd they say?
Good guy. Not sure he's ready for that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he. He makes out there. Hobbs, 2.5 interceptions. I'll go over.
I'm going to go under.
And I have a lock here. Casale kids, 1.5. Under.
Not going to argue with that.
I was going to say, I can't argue with that.
Well, that's going to be a battle because Allison wants the over by 1/2 in that one, and I want the under.
You don't want one of each, Tom?
How much do you want? How much do you want the under by?
One of each, and he says two girls. I said, did you want one of each?
It's not going to happen. The first one I have is going to be a girl, and I'm just going to quit. Trust me. No,
you don't know. You don't know this story.
I thought you were going to have a story, but I thought you were going to have a long snapper in the family.
Yeah, I'll probably have to adopt one. No guy I know in the last 5 years has had a girl. Everyone I know has had a boy. No one I know.
This guy's had a couple of boys in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's what he said. Everybody he knows has had boys.
All my friends have had boys. These guys have all had boys. Everyone. It's just.
I thought you said your friends. That's why I was saying.
Well, yeah, everybody.
Eric's had boys.
I see.
Two gender with a rare.
He's already excited with himself.
Yeah, he really is.
He gave himself
the fist bump.
He looks like Joe Willie Namath walking off the Orange Bowl turf at just Super Bowl.
Don't hurt your left shoulder. Patting yourself on the back, you little punk.
First of all, get to the freaking gym. Those arms are disgusting.
He's got smaller arms than I do.
Oh, he's the only person in this building who's smaller than I am.
Look at those things.
Oh my God.
Do something. A push up. Just make yourself look respectable.
Hey, Jack LaLanne.
But. Now that you actually said something worth a darn, you might actually get some more fans. They liked you before when you weren't doing anything. I never seen arms on a guy like that before. That's awful. Awful.
Put
Tom's
it away.
Disgusted.
Jesus.
Yeah, but even people who don't work out have, like, arms. You know what I mean? It's just
part
of your...
Have you seen Chris Ferreira?
Yeah, he's got arms, doesn't he?
Hey, you going to have time to get that basketball game together?
Yeah, we'll do that before I leave. Strippers, of course, has the answer. Rivers Gatorade stained shirt sells for $35,000.
Wow.
An unknown bidder from out of state bid $35,000.
Parcells couldn't stand being beat. Called back anonymously.
So that's a big one. Tom, have you said what you're doing in Vegas, or are you just moving there to live?
Spent the first half hour of the show talking about
it. Yeah, but it was, I think not a lot of people heard.
I know.
No, I have a job out there, so that's... I would never go anywheres 20 feet away from where I am to live if it wasn't for money, because I hate to move. And 40 hours across the country with a dog and my wife, that's a trip that nobody wants to make. All right, we got a thing on Imus here. This is from Brent. He says, I agree that Imus is an idiot and racist. Couldn't you just tell that? The sports guy paused and was thinking, where the heck is this question going to go? I don't think that anyone who heard the comments and the little, well, there you go, Imus said at the end, and not think it is racist. Rush Limbaugh said something about black quarterbacks, and he was fired, and I think this was worse. Once there's a history in Imus's case, you cannot wash off the stigma or the stink, even if you use Fred soap with a slot. Tom, are you going to pull an Andy and come back in a month or two? A month or two? You mean a day?
Wasn't even a weekend.
I wouldn't even have enough time to drive back if I was going to pull an Andy. Strippers.
Oh, my God.
Tom, handicap OU Texas. Let's hear it. I like Texas this year, Strippers. I think their offensive line is going to play a lot better, and they have a lot of talent. Especially with Eric's boy, Muschamp, as the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
So it's going to be a good game. Oklahoma is obviously the favorite there. But I really like Texas this year. If that Colt McCoy can get a little bit more consistent, I don't really care for him that much. Strippers has, what is this, a quick summary of hard candy.
Oh, God.
After 3 weeks chatting with the 32-year-old photographer Jeff Colvar on in internet, the 14-year-old Haley Stark meets with him in the Nighthawks coffee shop. Haley flirts with him in spite of the difference of ages and proposes to go to his house. Once there, she prepares a screwdriver for them, and Jeff passes out. When he awakes, he is tied up to a chair, and Haley accuses him of pedophilia. Jeff denies, and Haley begins to torture him in a mouse and cat game.
So how long are we going here?
That does sound pretty interesting, actually. I don't got any emails.
I don't got any emails.
Chelsea says something about free tacos at Jack in the Box, a Cali girl. if I was Cali girl, I probably wouldn't email in with the subject being free tacos. Your lucky Andy isn't hosting today.
Absolutely.
There was something else I wanted to get to here. Okay, here. Rod Rust. Alex says, hello and welcome back, Tom. There's not much on the web about Rod Rust, so could you guys elaborate on what made him such a terrible coach? I mean, besides his winning record?
I think you pretty much nailed it.
Well, he was considered a pretty good defensive coordinator for a period of time. Actually, Steve Nelson spoke very highly of him as a defensive coordinator during his time here. As a head coach, now, let's face it, he didn't have a lot of talent to work with, but it was more the off-the-field stuff.
That
he
was
just
the
had
1990
no,
team?
Yeah, it was the 1-15 team. He had no control of things that were going on around. That was... you know, the embarrassment of the whole Lisa Olsen situation happened under his watch. He didn't handle that well. He didn't handle the media well. He just didn't seem to have any control over the team whatsoever. Beyond X's and O's, I would think that we can all agree that most NFL coaches at any level, position coach, coordinator, head coach, they have a pretty good grasp of X's and O's. It's evaluating your talent, dealing with that talent, you know, motivating, being able to identify players that fit into your system and whatnot, that's what separates, you know, guys that know how to set up an offense and a defense with guys that know how to win championships, is the ability to do all those other things. And obviously Rod Rust couldn't do those
things. And maybe it was a little bit different back in 1990 for Rust. Maybe he had to have more responsibility for game planning and such. Like nowadays you have 8 million assistant coaches, and a lot of that work gets broken down. So the head coach doesn't have to do nearly as much as he used to. So maybe there was that on top of all of it, and it was just way too much for him. But I think you're right.
I think Bill does a pretty fair amount of game planning
sure
and stuff.
No,
like
I know he does, but I know not every coach does that. You know, a lot of them like to delegate. You know, I'm sure in Dallas, Wade's not doing all the game planning down there.
Well, when I said that most coaches
delegating.
That most coaches have a pretty fair grasp of that, I
the most was
some,
implied.
Some excluded.
Right. But, There's this other thing that there are just some coaches who are great coordinators and not good head coaches.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
and that's part of it. It's when you deal with the whole team. First of all, the assistant coach player relationship is a much different one than a head coach player relationship. And some guys don't make that transition very well. I mean, you're kind of a shoulder, an ear, a shoulder to lean on, an ear for a player. You don't have that as the head coach. When you're an assistant coach, you can be a little bit more of a buffer between the head coach. As a head coach, you're the guy. You can't have, you can't be, it's not like the social aspect with the players and stuff that you might have as an assistant. Mm-hmm. It's dealing with the media. It's motivating every week. You know, it's attention to detail. There's a lot of things that go under the umbrella of a head coach that don't necessarily fall under an assistant coach, even a coordinator. There's tons of coordinators that failed as head coaches.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Tons.
An analogy to make, a more recent analogy, would be Cam Cameron. Similar situation. He was a well-respected coordinator wherever he'd been. He gets into the worst possible scenario in Miami. I mean, granted, they didn't have the off-the-field stuff like the Patriots did back in 90, but they had injuries. They had a horrible team as far as talent goes. He comes in, you know, never having been a head coach in the league before, just like Rust, and it just, you know, it's one of those things where it was the wrong opportunity at the wrong time.
I have a question for you guys, and this is another one related to the morning show that I heard on EEI this morning coming in. If Cam Cameron were the head coach of the Patriots last year, 2007, 16-0, what do you think the Patriots record would have been?
Not 16-0.
But what do you think it would have been? That's my question.
10-6.
I was going to say maybe like 11-5, maybe.
I just think
you think that Belichick was worth 6 wins?
No, just last year's team.
Last year.
Yeah. With that offense, I think now you're playing into Cameron's strength where he'll outscore a lot of guys, but his bad coaching, you take away 6 wins.
I go 13-3 minimum. But 10-6 was exactly what John Dennis said. And I kind of laughed. Because I didn't think it was, Belichick was worth 6 wins on that team last year.
I'd say he was worth at least 4 or 5.
I think there's maybe 2 games that they wouldn't have won with anybody coaching.
Baltimore, Philly.
Baltimore would be one of them, and maybe the Philly. Giants. Maybe the Giants won when they were down 12 in the third, late in the third quarter.
So at least those 3.
two.
I'm counting the Philly game.
I'm not.
All right.
I think they played poorly in the Philly game and still won.
That's what I'm saying. I think they would still play poorly and not have won.
I just think that talent wins out. I mean, to me, most of the time, talent's going to win out.
Didn't happen in the Super Bowl, but...
No, but I'm saying they went 18-1.
No, I know.
You know, I mean...
Okay, well...
I'm not saying just anybody could have gone 18-1. I don't believe that. I think Belichick was the difference in some games, but I find it hard to believe he was the difference in six games.
I am going to have to read the email that says get rid of Eric after because it's pretty good. But right now we have Lucky on the phone, our good friend. Lucky, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Good.
I'm good. You sound a lot better, man.
Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Got the albatross off his shoulder
now.
Yep. Tom's out of here. He's got a burden lifted off of his shoulders. He's feeling great.
I feel good.
Great.
What's up with you?
Nothing much. I'm just relaxing right now. I mean, there's nothing football related going on, so
nah.
This is my time to chill. Matter of fact, I go to Cali for a week on Saturday, and then I come back for a couple of days, and then I go to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So you got a nice little vacation all planned out there?
Yeah, basically.
Getting ready for the football season?
Yep. I should be back by the time training camp starts, and I'll probably ride my bike up there one of them days.
Oh, all right.
How's that going? Are you learning pretty well?
Yeah, it went well. I finished the class on Sunday, started riding on Sunday. I rode my bike home, my mom's house, which is Stamford, Connecticut, about an hour and 45 minutes away.
Oh, that's pretty good.
From where I am. But I rode it home on Saturday, went and saw the fam, hung out with them. And then came back.
Sounds good. Well, it's football season will be here before you know it, Lucky.
I know, and I can't wait for it to get started.
Oh, me either.
I start coaching in August, so.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So everything will start together.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna hang up this phone because they're about to fire up the engine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Lucky. It's always good to hear from you.
Y'all enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay.
And if I don't talk to you for a couple weeks, you know, stay out of trouble.
Okay. Take care.
Hi, bye.
Busy at the base today, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They were firing off something. Okay, this is Josh in Leominster, not Arlington.
Leominster.
It's been a while since I emailed. Fell behind on the show a little bit. Things were dead at work, and I can't browse the internet and listen to my iPod at the same time. Fred, put the sliver inside the new bar of soap. Wouldn't you technically end up with the same sliver every time?
Told him that. Yeah, he doesn't want to.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. I tend to have the same problem, not knowing what to do with the sliver. Let's face it. If we're both too damn lazy to throw it, we're both just too damn lazy to throw it in the trash.
Or cheap.
Throw it down the drain. It's soap. If water hits it, it's going to...
It'll dissolve.
Yes.
Eventually, yeah.
Unbelievable. He says, Eric, what are you trying to do? Beat out John Rook, Matt Slater, and Chris Ferreira as the most useless person in the Patriots organization? First, you won't discuss your personal life, and now you're becoming a whiny bitch about everyone taking shots at you. That's the point of this whole show. We don't tune in for the Patriots talk nearly as much as we tune in to hear the rumblings of the entire cast. Besides, if Andy stops making fun of you, you'll just take it twice as hard.
Right.
I probably shouldn't go ahead. You'll probably just take it. Yeah.
Oh, you've read this already, Paul?
No, but I'm guessing where it's going.
He just says you like...
All right, skip over it. We get the point. Go ahead.
Have relations with men. Now it's for the whole Boston
Homer... Gary's losing it again.
Now it's for the whole Boston Homer thing from the last episode. I agree with Paul. Boston is the biggest Homer city, and I don't think most fans are as knowledgeable as they think they are. We're just more knowledgeable than any other... We're just more knowledgeable than any other fan base. What does that mean? And the same goes for the media, at least for the Homer part. You just don't hear much criticism from the local writers. And for the record, Andy. Tom isn't the only one who finds him funny. Well, Andy cracks himself up too, but that doesn't count. He has lost it from time to time, but he always comes through in the end. And this is coming from someone who is part Irish.
Wow.
So that is he's saying you're more useless than Chris Ferreira.
No. He's saying I'm trying to get there.
And Matthew Slater.
Well,
I just can't get past the Chris Ferreira one.
Don't worry, Ferreira's got that locked up.
Strippers wants to know if I will still be known as the Sheriff Tom Casale in Vegas. No, I will not. I will
be more appropriate over there, though. Tom,
do you have like a? You gonna have like a name or? Like,
yeah, I have an alias.
Your tout sheet's gonna have an alias.
Yeah, Tom will still be in it. But
Touchdown
it
Tommy.
Be, yeah,
you're not going with Touchdown Tommy or anything, are you?
No.
Oh,
no. It's
that'll just be your Patriots name.
Yeah.
Oh. He's like, oh, yeah.
But, no, I will have an alias. Strippers, I'll email you all the information. This is actually a site you would like, Strippers, talking about sports and gambling and everything. That's you'd fit in right there.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You can go there, sign up. You tell them you know me. We'll take care of you. Okay. Hang on.
What else we got, Eric?
I don't know, but I'm ready for 4th of July. I'll tell you that right now.
You ready for the 4th of July?
Well, we got that extra day and a half or so vacation next week.
What do we got? What's that? We got a half day on the Thursday.
Half day on the Thursday, all day Friday.
It's nice of them to give us the 4th off this year.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
That was the other reason I announced my resignation of Fred Now. Some of us are taking 2 days off that week. You think I'm coming in here for 3 hours? What are they going to do, fire me?
It's a good point. I got a 35-minute drive. I don't know if I want to waste the gas
hours. To me, that's ridiculous. They're going to have you guys come in, sit from 9 to 12, surfing the internet, and then say, okay, you can go home.
I'll post
for
my
me,
update.
It'll all be about what I need to do for the yearbook. As long as, if the yearbook and all that stuff is done, then I won't be here.
Yeah. I'll post my thing from home. That's the great thing about the internet. You can do that from anywhere.
I'm having trouble with the emails.
What's the matter?
I just don't know.
You know what
on.
I think is happening? He's running out of gas. He had that adrenaline high from the announcement that he made in the first hour of the show, the first half hour. And I think he's running out of gas with 15 minutes left.
I don't know. Oh, here it
you
is.
All right, Tom?
No, I had a good email from a Phil in Nova Scotia I wanted to read.
Philip?
The subject is what I cannot believe what it is. It says Belichick was to blame. That's the first time in PFW history we've seen that. Coaching was the reason that we lost against the Giants in the Super Bowl. To have to say anything, something this obvious out loud is not only embarrassing, but it's rather painful. Okay, the loss to Denver in 2005, there were a lot of uncharacteristic bad plays and some bad breaks. Still, it came down to coaching. Loss in Indy in 2006, blew a massive lead against a more talented team. Reason? Coaching. Loss to the Giants in 2007. Reason? Coaching. Period. I would like to know what game other Patriots fans were watching if it was not clear to them throughout the whole game that Belichick was being outcoached. What other postseason loss is a better example of Belichick being outthought by another coach? Can you name one? Listen, I like Belichick a lot. I think he's the best coach in the NFL today, but he does not have the answer to every play in every game all the time. He is human. He can be beat. To think otherwise, we would have to be like Fred and walk around with our eyes wide shut. And God bless Fred for doing it, because most of the time, as a silly, excited fan, I want to hear all the positive BS. But sometimes we need to see the truth, whether we like it or not.
Well, we're here to give you the positive side, no matter what. I mean, let's face it. It's Patriots.com. Yeah, it's PFW in progress. That's what we're
said,
here
for. New topic. Welcome back, Tom, and goodbye, Eric. What is the over-under on how many shows it will take before Eric goes postal on John for saying the truth always lies somewhere in the middle one too many times?
Evidently, that's a John Rook crutch.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't listen to his show, but that sounds like...
I can honestly tell you that I have not ever listened to that show.
Me neither.
I've been on it a couple of times, but even then I wasn't really listening.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, because sometimes
filling in or whatever.
Yeah, sometimes he needs something.
The indisputable leader of the gang. TG and NJ says there is. He says for me not to worry. There's a chance to have boys. He said there's certain methods you can employ to ensure the offspring is male. He said just ask strippers; he'll find the internet links for you.
certain things. This is my Auntie Fina writing in. This is how you can ensure you have a boy. What are you, an 87-year-old Italian woman?
I've heard of those things. I don't really buy into them.
Yeah, well, you're wise not to buy into them.
I think you get what you get. Just a couple of questions. This is from Brent in Illinois. First, has there been any discipline on Kevin Falk regards to the quote-unquote cigar incident this summer? I cannot believe the league would let that one pass. Second, what happened to the China game? Wasn't it supposed to be played this year rather than last year? Did Fred insult someone on his trips last year?
No, actually,
no, next year.
Yeah, if it is to be played, it will be next year. It was canceled from 07 to 09.
Right.
The Olympics are this year in Beijing.
At that time, too. So.
Right. The other thing with Falk is he wasn't arrested, so I wouldn't anticipate any discipline coming down from the league. I mean, it seems as if that his explanation was plausible enough for the authorities to buy it because there were no charges pressed and he was not arrested. And I'm not trying to be, again, you know, Patriots Homer Central here with my
those
eyes wide open.
Eyes wide shut. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just reporting to you the facts. He was not arrested.
Okay. Scott in Atlanta, he says he loves the PFW website. Also like the fan pictures. Cali girl's not bad. How are you guys coming on that PFW thong for her? That's all up to Fred. So
there are pictures on that site now, too?
Yeah, on the map.
Evidently, you and I really need to check this.
Well, I saw the map. I just didn't know that there were photos that were associated with the thumbnails, the thumbtacks.
He said, last time I bought you guys lunch, I asked what your favorite game was. No Super Bowls. This time I'd like to know, in your opinion, what players over the last 8 years are Hall of Famers? Brady, Moss, Belichick, etc. Willie McGinnis, Seau, question marks.
Seau
will definitely be
Seau's
a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
No, McGinnis has the question mark.
Okay. McGinnis is not a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he will.
No.
The
Brady,
brothers, yeah.
Moss, Belichick, yes. Seau, yes. Those are four. What's the one we think that? Whatchamacallit will get consideration. Law.
I think Law has a very good chance, and Adam Vinatieri has a very good chance. Beyond that, you'd have to buy us lunch, and I'll give it some more thought, because evidently that's what it takes.
Well,
who else?
Corey Dillon is a question mark, I'd say.
Corey Dillon's got a chance.
He has a chance. Yes.
I really can't think of any other.
Strippers did email him that information, by the way.
There are some guys that I think have interesting possibilities in terms that they're kind of at too early in their career. A guy like Logan Mankins, I think, could string up 10 straight
early,
Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Once you make it, I think you're in. And I think that he is exceptional.
He's
an exceptional player at his position. He could be one of those guys,
he could be.
You know, like a Will Shields that, you know, 10 years from now, you're like, oh, perennial Pro Bowler, Logan Mankins.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, when you retire, you know, almost by definition, you become a Hall of Fame candidate. I think he's a guy that.
Yeah, he has good
10
potential.
Years from now, we could be saying, yeah, he has a good shot to make the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Certainly right now, no, but long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Luis from Tampa. He says that we were talking about the Celtics last week, and he just has a question. I want to know one thing. Does Fred like or dislike the Celtics? I can't quite figure it out.
You're very perceptive. That's what he does. He rides the fence, and he finds out which way you want him to go, and then he goes that way. That's what Fred does.
He loved the Celtics.
He sits on the fence.
Well, apparently I missed this one. Any email that ends with Go Cowboys in big capital letters gets read by me on the show. This is from Zach in Pensacola, Florida. Hey, guys, I've been listening to the show recently because my friend Mike down here from Pensacola is a big Pats fan and got me into it. And since Tom is a Cowboys fan, it makes it pretty easy to listen knowing there's a Cowboys faithful on y'all's staff. But I just want to ask, who do you think is the best dynasty ever? We have the Steelers of the 70s, the Niners of the 80s, America's team of the 90s, and the Pats of most recently. Me personally, I think it's between the Cowboys and the Niners. But being a Cowboys fan, I'm going to go with them. So apparently fans are the same no matter where you go. What do you all think? Also, Eric should leave. He does nothing. The only time he talks is when y'all talk about him leaving. And y'all should definitely get the bobbleheads, but only if Tom is rocking a Marion the Bruiser Barber jersey. And one other question. Do you think Fernando Bryant is the real deal? Go Cowboys. Read this on the show. The dynasty thing is tough.
I think Pittsburgh.
Yeah, if you go by pure talent, the only way to do this, in my opinion, is not to say who would beat who. Because
you can't.
Because today's Patriots would pick up the Steelers' offensive linemen and toss them around like ragdolls. Yeah. It's just that simple.
Yeah, the size and the speed are just totally different.
I go position by position by position. If you do that, I think it's Pittsburgh, San Fran, Dallas, New England. That's how I would rank those four. And I can't speak of the Packers because I don't know anything about them.
And I saw a good feature that NFL Films had on Bum Phillips that was on over the weekend. Tom, I don't know if you caught any of it.
No,
I didn't. Sometimes you're clicking around. It had a lot of lost footage. They had him wired up a lot and stuff that they never showed. And a lot of it obviously had to do with their constant meetings with Pittsburgh in those playoff games. And they were just so good. And like, and Bum Phillips even said it. You know, remember the year that they lost in Pittsburgh when that the disputed touchdown from Mike Renfro? And he said, you know, it was a touchdown. And, you know, if we had instant replay, obviously it would have been a touchdown. But they would have found a way to beat us anyway. They were just better than us. They were just a little bit better than us. And it's amazing when you look, like Tom said, you can't do the position-by-position thing. You know, stacking up and saying, you know, Joe Green against, you know, whoever, you know, Matt Light or, you know, whoever he would go against because of the size differences. But when you talk about position by position and you just say who's the better player, that Pittsburgh team was stacked beyond beyond belief. Yeah.
Especially for a long period, like a longevity. I can't remember seeing a team with that many good players.
It's the preeminent example of drafting over a sustained period of time.
It also has guys like you always hear Dion. Listen, I know quite a few people think Mel Blunt's the best that ever played the game at corner. Yeah. They had to make rules just so people could get open on him.
He used to just knock people down.
He was just, I mean, but you don't hear when people say who's the best corner ever in today's media.
Yeah, you don't hear with that name.
People say Mel, it's always Dion. Dion was great, don't get me wrong, but.
Totally just, different player.
You know, Donnie Shell at safety.
Dion
guys
wasn't
like
knocking
that.
People down.
It's just, those players on that Steelers team were just phenomenal. I mean, you had mentioned Rocky Blyer like earlier as a backup. He used to get 700-800 yards a season. Yeah, you know what I mean? From the fullback position.
Yeah, that's back when fullbacks used to carry the ball. He was a good solid player, and he wasn't one of those nine Hall of Famers that we're talking about with.
The thing about that team.
Swan
you can go,
and Stallworth,
you can go
Bradshaw.
On and on about how, the good players, and a lot of them aren't even in the Hall of Fame.
Right
now, if that team, if what Bradshaw was saying was true and all the rumors were true, if that team were taking steroids and the way that they were, what was different about taking steroids then as opposed to now? Was it because they were just doing it for the recovery?
Legal. It wasn't banned then.
No, but for
openers.
But I mean, if a guy takes steroids now,
that's a lie.
What's that?
First of all, that's a lie.
What's a lie?
That people
to heal quicker?
Recovery. That's a lie.
No, but my question is, if a guy takes steroids now, it's kind of obvious that a guy is on steroids, you know, or a guy who wasn't. And
different training and nutrition. It's
right.
When I was in college, and I'd be at the gym, and freshmen, like 18-year-old kids, would walk in, and I'd be like, I didn't look like that until I was 24, 20. You know what I mean? Like, people are just bigger these days because of all the stuff that you can get at GNC and the nutrition and everything. So people start bigger, then they take the steroids, and then they're huge. So that's the thing. Like, guys were just – people
cause
get
guys,
bigger.
Because guys in that era, in the 70s, even the 80s, weren't as huge as the guys are now.
Right, but if Jack Tatum took his shirt off – I mean, that guy was they showed him in the locker room once.
Yeah.
He may not have been as big as a guy like Roy Williams, but there was no shortage of muscle on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, and plus, today's steroids are so much better.
Well, like that was what I was
they
getting
work
at.
So much
it's
quicker.
It's a different quality now than it was before.
As Andy would tell you, it's a much different grade today. It's almost like it's being produced for that purpose, when before you were getting, like, stuff from animals and things like that.
Horse tranquilizers and whatnot and... That's and then the cocktail of the drugs, the recreational drugs being used with this stuff that leads to like Lyle Alzado and all the other guys that have died, you know, prematurely.
Okay, so as we kick off the show here, Joel from Merrimack says Fred should have given me a raise, and please tell me this isn't going to mean more Eric.
A lot more Eric.
One can only hope.
I have an announcement that the podcast will not be able to be downloaded until 4 o'clock. So download the podcast at 4 p.m.
Not now.
Not now.
At
4 o'clock.
And you can blame that on Chris Ferreira, too.
Yes, and I appreciate everybody who wrote in. I'm going to miss everyone, and we will see you, what's today?
Today's
we'll see
Tuesday.
You Thursday.
We'll see you Thursday.
Okay, bye.